Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Joining us now to start Hour 2, he's with us on the Harbor One Hotline. Tom E. Curran of NBC Sports Boston is with us. And Tommy, Fourier had a real interesting comment in Hour 1. I want to get your thoughts. This kind of feels like a bowl game, doesn't it?
Well, I think they should treat it as a playoff game. Do we mean bowl game as in pool and weed eater bowl?
Yeah.
Inconsequential?
Yeah, everybody. Poinsettia. Yeah, a poinsettia bowl, right? Yeah, everybody is trying to get. It's almost like a reverse exhibition game in some ways, or at least for some teams. And, you know, that gets.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that gets into the how does Miami treat it? How does New England treat it? I mean, it is an interesting spot that teams find themselves in, and the Patriots and the Dolphins are clearly two of them.
It is, but my opinion is that the Patriots should take all ambiguity out of this and play it like a playoff game. They are in a position where they're not going to overwhelm any teams with their vast talent. They have to play at a razor-sharp efficiency level. And really, when you think about it, there's only one game this year in which they did that against a good team, and that was against the Chargers. Since then, they've outscored some of the worst opponents that they played, Atlanta, Carolina, Tennessee with no guys, all that stuff. They outscored them 130-26, and then when you throw in the Jets game, and that was since the Chargers during their winning streak. Then when you throw in the Jets, which was the game before the Chargers, they outscored them 184-39. So it's established. They can beat up on those bad teams or teams that are without weapons. But when they get in against better teams, they're not overmatched, but they're challenged. So I think that how they're playing matters more than how healthy everybody is. And that's a little hyperbolic, but you get what I'm saying. Mm-hmm.
Tom, I feel like we ask this question probably once or so a year. Why is it in your mind that Bill Belichick has struggled in his career so badly against former assistants? Because normally those guys go on to coach not great teams. And, you know, Brian Flores here, he's got a 500 team, and last year they won 10 games, so he might even be on the higher end of it. But he's 3-2 against Bill, and most of the assistants have gotten the better of Bill no matter where they've gone.
Yeah, it's whether it's Eric Mangini or Matt Patricia, on down the line, we've seen these outlier games. Vrabel, certainly. Bill O'Brien is the only coach who has not had mastery, and he wasn't even really here that long. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that oftentimes they're defensive coaches who go elsewhere, McDaniels being an exception to that in Denver. But they understand what the zig to the zag is. They understand how to create a game plan for that day the way the Patriots do, and they're not daunted, especially by the success of the Patriots. There's not the same feeling that maybe like a Zach Taylor would have, or you know, a Matt Rhule would have going against Bill Belichick for the first time as a first-time head coach.
Tom, I'm Brian Flores, like the first game they played, did they do a lot of that 7-8 guys on the line of scrimmage, the whole amoeba standing around, confusing quarterback? I feel like, did they do a lot of that in the first game? Do you recall?
They did everything they could to confuse them. I'm not sure how often they were doing the line of scrimmage stuff, but they blitzed a ton. They brought everything all game long.
Yeah, so I feel like, because I feel like I've seen more of that in that 7-game win streak where the things that the Patriots have done and what Brian Flores did also. So I feel like that's the biggest challenge this week. If you're going to try and, I don't know, disrupt you know, Mac Jones, because that seven-game win streak, you know, mm-hmm. it's all backups, you know, or rookies that they played against, and they feasted on those guys. So I'm curious if you think, like, is that something that they'll be willing to do again?
Yeah, I think, and that's what's interesting to me is, let's look at the Miami Dolphins history in these final games of the season against the Patriots. 2015, under Dan Campbell, an interim coach, they beat the Patriots down there, costing the home field against Denver. They eventually lose the AFC Championship game there. Under Flores a couple of years ago, after having lost the opener 43-0, they beat New England here. So those are teams that had nothing to play for in week 17 and still did. So what are we going to see, I think, from Brian Flores' team today? What level of commitment are we going to see after a seven-game winning streak that came after a seven-game winless stretch and then the loss last week to eliminate them? So, Christian, I guess what I'm wondering is how engaged are the Miami Dolphins going to be today? Are they like those developing teams under Campbell or Flores in 2019? Or are they, I'm kind of over this guy. What are we doing here?
Well, that was the bowl game analogy that Gresham gave you. Yeah, that's the bowl game analogy.
That's why I think Miami's in a bowl game scenario, but the Patriots are in a playoff scenario.
Do you feel, Tommy, that whatever happens today is momentum that carries into the postseason, or come Monday, you kind of shut the door on the league and it's only the playoff teams left and you're kind of starting anew on Monday?
I think 100% it's momentum that carries in. And again, I hate to keep going back, but it's all we have is 2018. The Patriots were a 9-5 team after having lost in Pittsburgh. They closed the season with wins over a 6-10 Bills team and a horrible Jets team, beat them up both. And they rode that from being a team that was being questioned all the way through the postseason to a Super Bowl. I'm not saying this team will do that or that that team was really good. It's just the momentum carried. 2019, they lost to obviously Miami at the end of the year, which I was talking about before. They finished that year 2-4 down the stretch, and they got hammered by Tennessee. I think there's a massive amount of import into how you're going into the playoffs. And the Patriots built really, really needed momentum last week against Jacksonville. So now against a better team, you don't have to win by 40, but can you win by 14? Can you go out there and win 24-10, play crisp, have the thing salted away, or are you going to be in a dogfight? Or are you going to lose? And then say, yeah, that's not us. It's okay. New day. Doesn't matter. Just had to get in the tournament. That will be what they say if they perform poorly or if they lose. But if they play well, I'm sure that they'll say, yeah, this is helpful for us.
Now, there's already two head coaching jobs available in the league. Tomorrow, I think we all assume there'll be a bunch more that we find out about. You wrote about this, but Jerod Mayo's opportunities that are going to be out there. How serious do you think teams are going to take his chances, and what's the likelihood that maybe he's coaching his last regular season game with the Patriots today?
I think teams will take him very seriously. He sat for the Philadelphia Eagles job last year that went to Nick Sirianni, and McDaniels was in the mix too. The hardest thing for Mayo is the ambiguity of his job description. He's the inside linebackers coach. You know, there's always going to be perception that Bill is the coordinator, and it has now gained momentum that Steve, because he is the play caller, and Bill gave him specific credit after the win over Tampa Bay as to having called a great game and the most important regular season game as we build it. Back then, Steve called a great game. So now the perception is that Steve is running the defense. My understanding is the role for Jerod is pretty significant, you know, and to the point where when they said, hey, do you want to be co-coordinators, that wasn't something that Jerod really felt great about in terms of he didn't think it would be representative of the way he felt the distribution of responsibility and work was going. So he remains the inside linebackers coach. How hard will it be to hire an inside linebackers coach and sell him to your media? Not hard when Mayo gets in front of the podium and starts speaking. But to me, I think that's really been it's kneecapped him a little bit. And it's something the Patriots continue to do with the presumption that, oh, it'll remove the ability to pin blame on somebody if we don't name them a coordinator. I think the ulterior motive is to keep guys in-house longer.
Hmm.
Why would anybody consider Mayo a head coaching candidate right now anyway? Like, I don't understand this, Tommy. There's like a rush to get these guys in who haven't had, to me, anywhere near enough experience. Like, you look at what Mike Vrabel did. Vrabel went to college, and then he became a coordinator, and then he went on the, like, he went and learned coaching and doing things different ways. Now it's like, well, Jerod Mayo was a great player and a nice guy, and he's coaching, so what the hell? Let's just turn him into a head coach. Like, I'm flummoxed, quite honestly. Not that it should be every retread out there, but to your point, this guy's coached one side of the ball, and it looks like he's coaching the inside linebackers and maybe calling some plays. And there's legitimate thought of him becoming a head coach? Like, what world has the NFL become?
Here's what's interesting to me is, and I get your point, absolutely. You know, the head coaching is important, vital. I think that head coaching is much more about a delegating leadership role than X's and O's. So you're right, but Jerod Mayo has been playing football for the Patriots since 2008. He was an all-pro player. One of the smartest, most relied upon players. So to say, okay, well, he's only been coaching for 3 years. He coached all that time he was there. He knows as much. And when we're talking about head coaches, and this is where teams get it wrong over and over and over again, just because a guy is a good coordinator and good with X's and O's doesn't mean he can delegate and lead. You need a leader to run your team. John Harbaugh was a special teams coach. He goes on to be, because of his leadership ability, a really good head coach. Same thing with Tomlin, because he's a leader. That's why these guys stuck. Tomlin wasn't a defensive coordinator for very long, I believe, in Tampa. Belichick had to learn how to delegate and lead exactly the way he would be most effective. He did that a second time around. Jerod Mayo's abilities are in his leadership skills, not the amount of time that he stood in front of a room someplace and, you know, gone over practice plans. That, to me, is what teams often get wrong, Andy. I'll let you go because I'm sure you have a feel because you're passionate. I can feel it through the phone.
No, that was me. No, because my thing is, it was like, yeah, of course, you know, I got to believe what you're saying, but I would also say the first thing he better do is go out there and hire himself a bunch of badass assistants.
100%. You are exactly right. That's where these guys get screwed, is their coordinators, you know, and they get elevated, whether it's, you know, I mean, look at the Bears. They continually are elevating uninspiring candidates to head coach, Nagy, or who was the guy before him with the glasses? Can't even remember.
Mark Trestman.
Oh, the quarterback whisperer.
Dick Geron.
Yeah, Dick Geron. I like Dick Geron. He was quietly dignified to a point where I'm like, okay, that's probably, you know, he's probably good. But I think that it's overrated.
Like
that.
He came across like a human being.
Yeah, quiet dignity. He played in the league. You know, he was
there's
a good
an insult there somewhere.
No, so that would be my contention with head coaching in general. There's way too much time spent trying to elevate coordinators because of time spent of the fact that they were on a sideline under a head coach who was a good leader and had a lot of success. Okay, well, that guy was there. I mean, honestly, the best coaching candidate out there is McDaniels by a long shot. He's a better coach than, I would say, probably 25 of the head coaches around the league who currently hold jobs, head jobs. I mean, that's not even really debatable when you look at his resume and the things that he's accomplished and done and developed. But is the leadership there? The leadership is there with Mayo. That's why I think he's such a good candidate. But you're right. The ambiguity about his title and that sideline experience, which is what I wrote, those two things are going to be strikes against him. It was interesting that the Patriots put out a 12-minute documentary on Mayo, spoke to Teddy Bruschi, spoke to his wife, spoke to Mike Mateo from Optum, where Mayo worked in business, which is something few players can say they did. He wasn't just, hey, you know, shaking hands. He was in business development and did a lot of work for Optum in the time that he was there. He had a lot of responsibility. So, look, I know him well. It probably comes through that I think that he's a great candidate because how well I know him. But if I didn't think he was a great candidate, I wouldn't say that he was.
No, it's interesting. And again, I met Jerod Mayo a couple times, and we bonded over SpongeBob. So, there's different strokes for different folks all the way around. Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston. He'll be with Gresh and Keefe on Wednesday here on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Tommy, thank you, friend. Have a good pregame. We'll catch you during the week.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.